All right.
Hello. Let's actually introduce ourselves in the beginning this time.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not Eric Sandine.
I am not Jonathan Strickland.
I'm not Ayaz Akhtar.
There we go.
That's good. So if you figured all that out, that's good. Now you know those people are involved with this program, but you might not know whose voice belongs to what name, which is completely fine. So,
yes, otherwise we would be pretentious.
Yes, and we're not about to do that.
No, that's the antithesis of what our podcast is all about.
Well, as we've stated before, confusion is what draws the listeners in.
That's
mostly
true.
Yeah, they're like, "What exactly is this show about?" And we never ever tell them.
It's about a half hour long.
Oh,
that was horrible.
Thank
Normally,
you.
I'd stop recording, but it's only been like a couple of minutes.
Sure. What we should do is just stop recording, and then we start a new episode, and this will be another two-parter.
So like, this time though, it'll be inverted. So it's like the first half is well, not half. I guess first part would be 3 minutes.
Yeah.
The next half will be. I keep saying half.
We're trying to everything we do that we think would alienate listeners seems to convince them to join on. And everything we do that we think would be a nice thing for listeners tends to drive them away. So I'm just trying to, you know, follow that to its logical conclusion.
So, Jonathan, you obviously are still not using a new mic.
I do not have a new mic yet.
It sounds like your bass is turned way up.
Does it? Okay,
yeah.
Hang on. I'll check and see. It very well might be.
He's going to check it and see. He's going to check himself before he wrecks himself, yo.
I shall check myself, lest I wreck myself.
Now, what week are you in right now? Week 75 of 90 of never taking a day off?
Week 4.
Wait, I thought week 4 was last week.
Well, technically week 5, because we're going into the fifth week of the Renaissance Festival. So, let's see. I'm still looking to see if I've got anything in here that can... Let me try that. How's that? Is that better?
Sounds the same to me.
Sounds the same.
To you. How about that? Can you hear me?
You sound the same to me.
Dang it. All right, hang on.
I think it's just the room acoustics.
Yeah.
It's weird. Okay. Anyway, yeah, we're heading into the fifth weekend of the festival, and technically if you count the week before the festival started, then I am in week 5 of no breaks.
And how are you coping with such a demanding schedule?
I went to see the Avengers. That helped.
That's very good.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed it.
Eric, did you watch the Avengers?
I have not yet. I'm sorry.
Do you plan to?
I do, but go ahead and spoil it. I understand.
No, we should not spoil this movie. I think
this film is definitely one that needs to, you know, you need to see it and not have it spoiled. Like there's some genuinely amazing moments in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've heard. I'm probably going to go see it on Friday.
Yeah, so I would definitely suggest just enjoying it. Don't find out anything if you can. I mean, there's a lot of, like on Reddit, there's all kinds of spoilers in images.
You know, I don't think I've run into any like actual spoiler threads on Reddit yet, so.
It wasn't even threads, they're images. They're like animated GIFs of certain scenes already. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, that's not good.
I can think of one in particular that has to be up there.
Well, let's not talk about it.
No, I'm not going to. I'm just. It just. You. I think you know which one I would talk about. It's a comedic moment in the movie.
Yes, there's actually a lot of. Well, this is not a spoiler. It's actually pretty funny. The movie's got a lot of laugh out loud moments, and
you've got Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, and he provides a lot of the snark in the movie.
Right.
Although by no means the only. The only snarky character, but a lot of his lines are funny.
Well, anyway, so.
And I have to say, you know, a lot of people have said it, and I'm agreeing with them. Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk was phenomenal, and the Hulk totally steals this movie.
I think he's definitely the most likable Hulk, and he's the best Hulk that's been on screen, I think, since the television show.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Hulk, Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk is the best Hulk since Bill Bixby. He manages, he and Joss Whedon, the screenwriters and all that, There, they manage to make you feel empathy for the Hulk, to actually care what happens to him, as opposed to just waiting around to see him break stuff.
So, like, as if the Avengers needs us to back them up. I think they did, what, $200 million over the weekend, a record of some kind. I'm not sure which record it is.
I'm just lending my own voice to say I agree wholeheartedly with the positive reviews.
Well, here's how much I like this movie. I have a long couple of flights ahead of me. If they had the Avengers on, I would buy it twice in a row just to keep my mind off of the flight, because I'd be so engrossed in the movie because it's that good. Because it's like you want to. It has rewatchability too. Because like there are parts where people laugh over things and you missed it. I know I had to look up a scene because I was laughing so hard.
I had to ask my wife what one line was because I could not hear it. It was shortly after an amusing moment and there was still laughter in the theater. My hearing is not so great. So I actually had to turn and ask her what one character said at a point. And it was a genuinely funny line that I would have laughed at that moment had I been able to hear it.
Okay, so I went to a marathon show. I saw a bunch of different shows right before it. There was Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, Cap, and Avengers. I only saw the last three. Now, what is your position on...
How long did that take?
It was like I was there from 6 to 2 or 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
What is your position on people clapping for characters showing up on screen in the theater?
I don't have a problem with audiences applauding during a movie to express joy. When a character shows up, that to me is a bit much. But to express joy in a moment where there's a particularly memorable moment that's on screen and people applaud a little bit, I have no problem with that. I mean, of course, the people who are responsible for creating that moment can't hear the audience. I mean, obviously, it's ridiculous on one level. But at the same time, I have no problem being part of an audience that is sharing the experience of joy at something that, you know, they're watching. I like that, actually. If that's one of the few things about going to the movies I actually enjoy, which is going to see a movie with an audience that is engaged with whatever's on the screen.
Like, I'd laugh so hard that I started clapping at the end of it. I sometimes do that in real life, and that's what I did during the movie. But the thing was, it was kind of interesting when there was, like, a cameo. Like, Clint Barton shows up in Thor for, like, all of 3 minutes, and the audience starts clapping a little bit. I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize that was him. But during the Avengers, like, when Tony Stark would show up, people are clapping. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
Oh, well,
like,
that's kind of ridiculous.
It's not subtle.
That's a bit much for me. Like, if it were a moment where a character does something really, you know, iconic, or there was one moment in the Avengers that was a cooperative moment between two characters that I applauded because I totally wigged out and had a geek moment when I saw it on screen. And I just, it was one of those seconds where I was just like, ah, and I started to applaud. But not when people just show up.
Yeah, that was my issue with that. Well, the movie was great and everything, but I just think it's strange that people will clap for the introduction of somebody.
I have a question for you, Ayaz. This does not have to do with the content of the film, but rather the format. Did you see it in 2D or 3D?
I watched it in 3D.
You did? So
yes.
IMAX or non-IMAX?
Non-IMAX.
So non-IMAX 3D, how was the 3D? Because, of course, it was a 3D conversion film,
yes,
not shot for 3D.
Now I had a unique experience. Well, not that unique. A bunch of people did, I guess. But during the marathon, the last three movies were in 3D. Okay. And the Thor was, I believe they were all converted. I'm not sure about that, but I think they were.
I think you're correct.
So the thing is, the Thor conversion was, it was okay. And it kind of hurt my eyes a little bit because I was trying to get... I didn't understand what was going on too well, or the shots weren't done for 3D. The Captain America was better in it had better 3D, but the Avengers had the best 3D of the night. So I don't know if I had just gotten used to it as the night was going on, and or the technology got better and the shooting got better to understand that, look, this is the way you shoot a 3D film.
Well, I think Whedon knew that there was going to be a 3D conversion,
yes.
So even though he wasn't shooting for 3D, he was trying to frame his shots in a way where 3D would not where 3D wouldn't just be some weird window dressing that's more distracting than helpful.
It really didn't detract at all from the movie. And that was something I was concerned about. I'm like, oh, is this going to be gimmicky? Obviously, because it wasn't shot in 3D. It was just shot – it was converted well enough that it became a non-factor in my watching it. The only thing that became a factor was, man, I really wish I had some comfortable glasses built for me because I'm already – I wear glasses all the time anyway because I'm a nearsighted. And so to have another pair of glasses on top of mine that weren't as comfortable because these were like – these are the giveaway ones. They're the gimmicky ones for the Captain America's logo, so I put them on. But it was slightly uncomfortable. And you have to wear them for a long time. So that, I think, that was probably the biggest detraction about the 3D was the uncomfortableness of the glasses, but not the 3D itself.
Yeah, the when I saw it in 2D because I knew it hadn't been shot for 3D. And I was worried that the conversion problem – what I was worried about was not so much the 3D effects, but that if any scenes were shot in a fairly dark kind of – a darkly lit – scenes, that I wouldn't be able to see anything because, you know, the conversion process very often makes it less bright. So I wanted to see it the first time the way it was meant to be seen, in the sense that, you know, the 2D version without it having to worry about brightness issues. Now that I have seen it, I'd be willing to see it again in 3D.
Right. I'm going to watch the next – I'm watching it again, I think, in like a day or two, and I'm going to watch it in 2D. So.
I think I'm going to try and catch it again next week, possibly. I've got some friends who are talking about going again, and so.
Yeah, after Ayaz's review, I'll probably see it in 3D first. I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah, as long as you can see it in 3D. I mean, if you can't see 3D, it doesn't work. Go ahead.
I can say that there was there weren't any particularly really dark scenes in the Avengers.
Right.
So if it were something like The Dark Knight, then I might caution you. You know, where it's a lot of black on black, and there's wow, this blob of black is slightly closer to my face than that blob of black.
I can really see that, really, the scallop point of the cape. No, I can't.
Yeah. Someone's foot just hit someone else's torso, and I don't know whether to cheer or boo.
We should move off of the Avengers because we're talking around it.
Dude, I'm talking about The Dark Knight now. Come on, catch up.
Oh, I saw the trailer for Dark Knight before Avengers. I've been avoiding every single thing about The Dark Knight.
You haven't seen any of the trailers yet?
I've only watched one trailer, and that was because it was before the Avengers. And at that point, I was like, you know what, fine, I'll give in and see this stuff. Because the trailers for me at this point, for a movie that I know I'm going to see.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in the theater and go, oh, well, this can't be that moment because this scene hasn't happened yet because that was in the trailer.
Yes. No, there's one moment. Again, there's a moment in the Avengers where, because it had not happened yet, and because I had seen a trailer where the moment did happen, I was like, "Well, I kind of know how this is gonna resolve."
Right, and the
only
thing
one
is,
way it can.
That's part of the issue for me. Like, I don't. If it was a movie that I'm like, well, I don't know anything about it, and I want to see if I'm interested in it, I would watch a trailer. So what you do? Like, I saw Prometheus, the trailer for that, and I'd never seen anything before about it. Other than I've heard about it, but I hadn't actually looked at the trailer. And I was just drooling. I'm like, this is brilliant. I want to watch it. Whatever
that looks
it is.
Intense.
Yeah.
I'm the one I'm looking forward to seeing. It's been out for weeks. In fact, if I don't get off my butt and find it in a theater soon, I'm going to miss the chance. I really want to see Cabin in the Woods.
Me too.
Because miraculously, no one has spoiled that for me.
The only thing I've seen by Cabin in the Woods is the movie poster. And that is what makes me want to go see it.
I have not seen a trailer about it at all. I think one of my friends went to go see it, and all they said was, well, it was all right. And I'm like, oh, well, that still sounds good.
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends who saw it, and they really enjoyed it. Even friends who don't typically like horror said that it was a really enjoyable movie, and that the less you know about it, the better that movie is, because part of the audience's enjoyment of the film is to the joy of discovery. And if that's taken from you, it's like kind of like if you were to go see The Sixth Sense and someone tells you before you even sit down in the theater, oh, by the way, the twist is that Bruce Willis's character is dead. Like, after the first 5 minutes, he's dead. And if, you know, then you're like, why am I bothering watching? Or you go to The Usual Suspects. And so it's, oh, by the way, Verbal Kent is actually Kaiser Soze. The whole thing, the entire movie is a lie. asinine.
Well, I mean, even a minor league spoiler, like saying, "Oh, by the way, there's a twist to Sixth Sense." Like, yeah, you're that's just now you're like, "What is it? What you're thinking about it?" Versus just enjoying and getting lost in the movie. And this is partly why I thought clapping was a little bit much in a theater experience, with the showing a movie and not having live actors, is because I want to get lost in the story.
Yeah, no, it kind of reminds me a little bit of do you ever watch the IT Crowd?
Yes.
There's that one episode where Roy is desperately trying to watch a Quentin Tarantino produced Korean zombie movie.
Oh, right.
And then Dominator tells him that there's a twist in it. Oh, I wish there wasn't a twist.
That's available on Netflix if you listen to this. Try netflix.com/twit. That's right. An nice. Ad.
Nice.
I don't see a cent for that, but it helps the network.
Can I put some of the ads from my sponsors in the show too?
if it'll pay you.
No, it's
not. If it's going to help your company.
Pay personally for these, or
not Netflix. Can't say not Netflix very easily. It helps the company at large.
But I will say the IT Crowd, well worth, if you have not watched it, well worth your time.
You know, I have the one complaint about that show, and it's funny because I never noticed it the first time I watch it through, but then I'll always have a friend over, like, and we were watching an episode, and she just looks at me, she goes, "I can't stand laugh tracks," and I'm like, now I'm going to notice it every time. Like, I'm sure I noticed it every time the first time around, but then once somebody points it out on a show, I stop enjoying it as
much. Did you notice the actual laughs repeating after that, or just thinking about it? Because I'm like,
no,
I know Big Bang Theory's got a laugh track, but it's not like there was this weird thing in the 80s where I would hear this particular laugh.
Had it memorized after a while.
Yeah, because it was a really bizarre cackle. And then there's also the back in the 80s with a lot of those TV shows where the audience would ooh and ah.
Right.
And so you'd hear that enough and you're like, wait, no, that sounds exactly the same. So then you could actually recognize it. Are you recognizing a laugh track, or are you just realizing it?
Actually, with the IT Crowd, I would say I have recognized it a few times. Like, but yeah, it would be fun to catalog that after a while.
As a kid, I just imagined that there was this one magical place where the same audience got to see all the shows live. They just had very predictable responses.
For a while,
that audience that saw that last Silver Spoons episode is watching Perfect Strangers now.
I'm telling you, that cackle, I originally was like, maybe this lady just goes to a lot of freaking TV tapings. And then I'm like, no, wait a minute. The entire audience reacts exactly the same. Back in the 80s. No internet.
Are there any other television shows that you have discovered through Netflix? Not just stuff that you watched over again, but something that you had never seen that you found on Netflix?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've watched some of the stuff I watched when I was a kid, because I had a lot of the 80s stuff. Family Ties, Transformers is now running. But not new stuff, I think. The new stuff I go to Hulu for.
Go ahead, Eric.
I know a lot of people, and this is probably a repeat for a lot of people, but I've known quite a few people recently who had never watched Twin Peaks before, who are all like starting to watch it through Netflix now. Mm-hmm. It seems to be getting its like second runaround.
See, for me, some of the British shows that some of them I didn't know about. I just watched because Netflix suggested it based upon other stuff that I liked. So I watched that Mitchell and Webb look, which I had never seen.
Oh, that's a great show. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had never seen it before it was on Netflix. I think I'd seen one sketch that they did because I saw it on YouTube, which was the German Nazi sketch.
Are we the Badgies?
Yeah. Have you seen the badges on my caps? They got skulls on them. Yeah, no, that's a great series. And then from that, I went and started watching Peep Show, which is
Peep Show.
That's right.
I started Peep Show just because
that is probably the most uncomfortable show I've ever watched.
I really like that show.
Yeah. It makes The Office seem tame in comparison.
Oh yeah, got a lot of awkward things. You know, like it's okay for those of you who haven't watched Peep Show. You're inside the minds of the character. So as if I was talking to Jonathan, you would be hearing what I'm thinking. And you could also switch to Jonathan. So when he's talking, you hear what he's thinking, or the opposite.
And you're seeing from their perspective.
Yeah, it's like as if you're in their place. So you think the horrible things that you would never, ever say. Like, you know, I think one of them was one of the characters like, you know, what if I killed this person right now? Would anyone notice? And they're trying to have like a normal conversation like in a mall. So it's like these like pretty interesting stuff there. I think I'm just ending up rewatching so much stuff on Netflix because I liked it when I was young and now there's no commercials. So I'll just run them.
Yeah, I'm watching stuff that, you know, some stuff I'm watching I've never really gotten into. Like I started watching the old Twilight Zone episodes and I'm probably about halfway through season two now. And, you know, some of the episodes I've seen because, you know, there are these iconic episodes that I think most people have seen, but there are a lot that I never saw. And I find that really interesting. I actually was watching that and every now and then I would watch some Amazing Stories. And that's when I realized, I actually posted this on Facebook. I said, you know, a really good Twilight Zone episode makes you think. It makes you say, you know, that's a really interesting concept. Even if it's not executed perfectly, you're like, that's still kind of a cool idea. But a really good Amazing Stories episode is a really crappy Twilight Zone.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I started – go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, I wonder if – do they have the Outer Limits up there? There were a couple episodes of the Outer Limits that scared the crap out of me when I was little.
Well, I started watching all the Twilight Zone stuff again, even the stuff I didn't like. Like I used to – when I was a kid, I didn't really care for the Western stuff. Like if it was set with a cowboy, I'd be like, I'm not watching this. And so I started watching those. And after – I think I ran through all of them. All the episodes they had available, I started looking at the ones they were recommending. And I did watch Amazing Stories based on that. I watched most of that. But then I started watching this show called Fear Itself. Unfortunately, there's only 6 episodes. It was on NBC, and the first episode is so good. The rest of them suck compared to it. It's another anthology series, but it's a horror anthology series.
Oh, so it's like I see. Each episode's directed by somebody else or something.
Yeah, like John Landis does one. Some of them more funny than others, but the first one again, it's called Fear Itself. So you're thinking, the first one is just disturbing, and it actually stars. I'm blanking on her name. She plays Peggy Olson on Mad Men now, but she is the lead in that, and it's really. It's actually uncomfortable to watch because it's just that violent and it has an ending that you won't expect. And for a pilot, you'd never think this is a pilot because how would you ever make another show after this? But one of the other episodes will be about like being in suburbia and how horrible that is because the homeowners association is evil and such. It delves away from fear unless you're really afraid of suburbia. And I'm terrified of suburbia. So
because you're a city boy.
Yeah. So like again, why I didn't watch the Westerns?
That's that kind of falls into the tropes that I absolutely hate in television.
What's that?
Things like, you know, people it reinforces that stereotype that writers are these, you know, city dwelling kind of semi-elitist people who always identify, say, an average person. If you would, you know, if you're looking at average as in more people live in suburbs and in rural areas than they do in cities, then you would say like, so these are evil people, or at least people to be scared of. I mean, look at all the horror movies where the bad guy is the backwoods, you know, person who lives far from civilization. You know, everything from Texas Chainsaw Massacre to Wrong Turn to The Hills Have Eyes and all that kind of stuff. And I get really tired of that. But you even see it more so in like the Studio 60. Did you guys ever watch that?
I did not watch that.
I tried watching it because I was like, this sounds like it could be interesting. And so I started watching it. But it was even guilty of the stuff it was calling itself out on. Like the show that they were producing within Studio 60. You know, it's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. I remember the show. That's right.
Yeah, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. It was supposed to be.
It was Aaron Sorkin?
Wow. Yeah. Yes, it showed up at the same time as 30 Rock, and it was like, which one will survive?
30 Rock was so much better because at least they skewer themselves accurately. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with Studio 60 was that the show that they were producing was. They keep getting notes saying that it's too elitist and that it's not really appealing to middle America. And the writers are all having these very esoteric discussions as if middle America just isn't necessarily, you know, worth even considering or whatever. And I'm thinking, wow, so the show within your show is doing what your show is doing. I mean, it was just so that sort of same sort of thing. I was like, it's one of my pet peeves. I mean, as much as I enjoy a good story about writing or a good story about acting, I also notice there's this sort of masturbatory element to it, where writers write about writers, and actors love to act in shows about acting, and it gets a little self-congratulatory to the point of me wanting to strangle someone.
Yeah, I could see that point. I mean, the thing is, you're right. 30 Rock does a decent job of that, though.
Yeah, because they are so quick to skewer their own tropes, and I think that's, you know, healthy. But I mean, think about, like, Stephen King is a great example. How many of Stephen King's characters, you know, of a supporting role or higher, larger, how many of them are writers? I mean, The Shining is a writer, yeah. Dead Zone, writer. The Stand has a writer. It has a writer.
you know, did he write that movie with Johnny Depp, too? The Garden Window or something like that?
Yeah. The Secret Window?
Secret Window?
Was yeah, that was Stephen King. That was one of his novellas. That's a writer. Yeah. I mean, like, every single book, just about, after its first few, seemed to have a writer. Even the Dark Tower series, which doesn't have any writers in it, really, until he introduces himself as a character in the series. Spoiler alert. the book series has been out forever, so. But that's, yeah, it's one of the things where I'm like, I really admire the way Stephen King builds characters. I think he's a master at that. I just wish fewer of them were writers, because I'm getting tired of that.
He did The Mist, right?
Yes.
I don't remember the lead was, but.
I don't think the main character was a writer in that. I honestly can't remember. I remember reading the novella years ago. And I'm not sure. He might have been, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
I was looking through all the TV shows that are on Netflix that I just like, I want to watch that again. I want to watch it again. Not so much new stuff. I think Being Human, I started watching the American version.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I mean, there's an actor I follow. He used to be in, he was in the Superman Returns movie. He played Jimmy Olsen. Whatever his name is. This is great. Cause I only follow actors, apparently. And, he always picks good projects, and Sam Huntington, that's his name. He does a bunch of comedy stuff, and he's pretty funny in Being Human, which isn't that – it's like a dramedy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the UK version yet, but that – it just couldn't hook me because each episode's pretty heavy. So it's kind of hard to be like, yeah, I want to marathon this because it's just vampires and werewolves and ghosts. Just,
I thought yeah, it was funny because the first time someone explained the premise to me, I was certain they were describing a comedy.
Well, then, it sounds like it's the beginning of a joke. So, right. A vampire, werewolf, and a ghost live in a house together.
Wait a minute. A vampire and a ghost are dead. How can they be living in that house?
They are unliving in the house together.
So werewolf is living with two dead roommates.
They're cohabitating. There we go.
Yeah. See, once you hear that, you're like, oh, this is going to be hilarious. And then you're, no, it's not a comedy. Because I remember hearing about Being Human years ago when it premiered on the BBC. And I still haven't seen any episodes. But I remember when I heard about it, I was like, oh, wow, that sounds like that'd be an amazing comedy. No, it's serious.
I watched it. I watched the first two episodes of the BBC one. No, I watched the first two episodes of the American one. I couldn't get into it. Yeah. I tried really hard to.
I plan on watching the BBC one first and seeing if that hooks me. I mean,
I didn't know it was based on a BBC show. I just saw it pop up on Hulu. So, yeah.
Well, I've managed to watch about 3.5 seasons of Doctor Who without really caring about it. So I think I can.
Well, I know that I need to watch Sherlock. I know it's on Netflix.
That's good.
It's amazing from what I hear. I've seen actual scenes of it, and it looks great. I mean, that visually, it looks great.
Yeah.
There's something blocking me in my head. Like, this is going to be serious, it's an hour and a half each episode. You know, it's a long time.
There's a lot of funny parts in the Sherlock series. I mean, because Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock is so curmudgeonly and snooty and snarky that that there's a lot to laugh at. So I think you should definitely give it a try. It's a really, heck, you know what? That's not a bad thing for you to try and watch on the plane.
Oh, yeah, actually, not a bad idea.
It's really good.
On the way back, actually, that would be that's a great idea, actually. It's too bad. I was thinking about, like I was saying, like, I wouldn't mind the Avengers being on the plane. I'd watch that again and again. I was trying to load Mad Men on my laptop, and it's like, hey, you've authorized the maximum number of machines. It's like, great. And then I tried to deauthorize everything, and then it had issues getting my account settled. And I screamed out loud, like, don't make me steal my own stuff.
Yep.
Like, I paid for this. I just let me watch my stuff. And I don't often do that because I usually have a workaround. But when it comes to, like, okay, I have a flight to get onto. I have to worry about that. I don't want to have to figure out, oh, you know, in a couple of days, this will be fine. I don't want to start planning my trips based on rights management. And Netflix, I'm concerned about, will I have enough bandwidth in the air?
Yeah. Well, let me put it to you this way. My wife and I, we watched the first episode of Sherlock together, and we liked it so much. No, we watched it on Netflix, and, you know, the first three episodes are available on Netflix.
Yep.
So we watched the first one. We liked it so much that instead of watching the second one, we went out and bought the Blu-ray. So, I mean, we were like, that's it. You know, I want to have this show, and I want to be able to see it in the highest quality. And so we went out, bought the Blu-ray, came back and watched the other two episodes, and then we went ahead and pre-ordered the Blu-ray for the second season. So
I was looking into getting Captain America on digital download. It's $20. If I buy the Blu-ray, DVD, and digital copy, it's 3 cents cheaper.
Because that makes sense.
Yeah, well, technically it's like you save $23 because it normally costs $45 for the whole thing. At least that's what is the MSRP. And I'm just like, I've never seen it sold to that. That's I don't often complain about this because this usually is not a problem for me because I don't mind. I don't go anywhere. But now that I'm traveling, I will bitch and moan.
Understandably so. I mean, it's, you know, it's the same argument that countless people have made that, you know, by making this such a ridiculous, convoluted system, these companies are actively encouraging piracy. And instead of saying, you know, hey, here's an easily accessible means of getting the content you want for a fair price, pay us.
Okay, this is completely unrelated. I was looking up Sherlock on Netflix, and for some reason, Strawberry Shortcake comes up. She gets what she wants. Two-headed shark attack. I'm not sure how exactly. That was on page 2, though, of the search.
Well, to be fair, Strawberry Shortcake does show up in season 2 as a pretty minor villain.
That should be a thing.
So then, yeah, it's like you find out that Moriarty has hired on Strawberry Shortcake and Rainbow Bright because they were the last two Sherlock would ever suspect.
I would think Jem would be a part of that.
No, that's Rainbow just Bright. Truly outrageous. Truly, truly, truly outrageous.
Mm-hmm. I see. Jem is truly outrageous. Mm-hmm. I believe only one season is available for Jem. I don't know if there were multiple seasons of Jem, but apparently you can get one whole season.
Yeah, I am not ashamed to admit that I know most of that theme song.
I tried to get into that whole My Little Pony thing that's been going on.
Dude, I tried watching that too. I watched about 7 or 8 episodes of My Little Pony thinking, I'm willing to give this a try because I actually did enjoy Powerpuff Girls when it was on. I mean, I didn't watch every episode, but whenever I caught one, I was like, that's really cute.
It was,
and very
pretty
silly.
Okay. I'd watch it when I caught it on.
Wait, which thing? Powerpuff?
Yeah, the Powerpuff Girls. Yeah.
So I watched a little bit of My Little Pony, but I got to tell you, I mean, I didn't dislike it. It just didn't do enough for me to convince me. I don't see what the big fuss is about.
Did you watch it in a group?
No, I was by myself.
Okay, I think because I was watching it with Liz, and we were just ragging on it, and it was funnier that way.
I wasn't ragging. I didn't feel like it was. I didn't feel it was necessary to rag on it either. It was just one of those things where I was like, you know, the cute moments are cute, but it's not enough to hook me.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't. Which is weird. I mean, all right, so I also watched Phineas and Ferb. I don't have kids. No kids. And I watched Phineas and Ferb, and I was hooked. I was like, now this cartoon really appeals to me. It's very funny, very tongue-in-cheek and surreal. And it resonated with me in a way that other cartoons that people – usually it's actually people a little younger than I am, but people around my age have said that they enjoyed watching. Like I tried watching SpongeBob SquarePants, and that was just a little too – like I felt like, well, you know what? I don't get high, so maybe that's why this isn't really doing
anything. Yeah, I could never watch SpongeBob, but I do know people who are of that nature – that definitely love the hell out of SpongeBob, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, I don't get it, and the beer doesn't help either.
it was amusing and bizarre, but not enough for me to again want to watch it. Whereas Phineas and Ferb, we burned through every single episode that's available of that, and we also watched the movie, and it was just because it was a charming, funny show, and the music in it was really fun.
Not to rain on people's parade, but I do need to get out of here and publish this episode.
You gotta fly.
It is now time to check how many subscribers we have.
How many were last time?
I thought we dropped down. Hang on. What was last week? It's May 2nd. So May 1st is the date we had. We had 73.
Oh, was it? Wow.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say 92.
Say 82.
87.
Hey, we split the difference.
87 since as of yesterday. So, thank you, human beings, for subscribing. I wish I actually had numbers for each episode.
I think you're making a big assumption there that all of our subscribers are human beings. There may be some pets that accidentally hit a key on someone's computer.
Well, that's also quite. That would actually explain the erratic nature of the subscriptions.
So, to you, Mr. Mittens, this episode goes out to you.
And that's the title, I think. I'm going to stop right now, Echo.